The ice in the Arctic Ocean has long forbidden shipping and oil exploration, but no longer. A record withdrawal of sea ice in 2007 has been followed by similar retreats ever since. The oil industry and shippers have suddenly become far more interested in the new frontiers opening up as the sea ice pulls back. Yesterday, reporter Johanna Urich brought us a look at impending oil and gas exploration efforts in the Arctic Ocean. Today, she brings us the second part of the series on shipping in the Arctic.
In 1971, Peter Wadhams went on the first British submarine to venture into the Arctic to survey ice thickness using sonar. And he's been on every British sub since, checking ice thickness and distribution.
The methods we were using to collect it were more primitive. We weren't getting these nice 3D images. But you can still use that data to get the distribution of thickness of the ice back in the early 70s and compare it with what we're getting now. And that's what's showing this very big decrease in average ice thickness, at least 40% decrease in average thickness.
Wadhams has been studying the shape of multi-year sea ice in the Arctic. This is ice that has survived many winters. It's cut up by cracks that routinely appear in the ice pack. Multi-year ice, once the dominant ice in the Arctic, has become an endangered species. Wadhams expects it to disappear in 20 years. The only sea ice left, he says, will be that which forms in the winter and melts in the summer, or one-year ice. Sea ice is not forming or melting uniformly through the Arctic. The hot spot for melting is off the coast of Alaska and northwest Canada. But there are forces at work beyond the warming of the Arctic Ocean that can cause multi-year ice to disappear quickly. It's happening not too far from the place with the largest and most stable collection of old multi-year ice, off Ellesmere Island near Greenland, a place called the Alamo by ice scientists, named that because it's expected to be the last stand of old sea ice in the Arctic. In 2007, just around the corner from the Alamo, an ice bridge that normally stopped up a thin strait between Ellesmere Island and Greenland melted, letting loose a veritable stampede of multi-year ice heading south and trapping Canadian fishermen used to fairly open waters off Newfoundland. David Jackson is acting director of the Canadian Ice Survey, which watches ice carefully to help its Coast Guard respond to dangerous conditions. He says many fishermen and sealers were caught unawares.
And what happened in 2007 was that multi-year ended up down off of the coast of Newfoundland and formed a real problem for some of the fishermen that were going out, the sealers that were going out, and about 100 of them got trapped and had to be rescued by the Coast Guard.
The Canadian Ice Service does not expect the Northwest Passage to open reliably for shipping in the next decade. Jackson says before that happens, it is much more likely that the relatively thin ice in the center of the Arctic Ocean near the North Pole will open. That may prompt changes in shipping routes, saving a huge amount of time and money. The country that is most aggressively pushing the frontiers of Arctic shipping is Russia, which has most of the coastline bordering the Arctic Ocean. It's also the nation with the Arctic's largest estimated offshore oil and gas resources and with the largest fleet of icebreaking ships. Russia is developing a fleet of nuclear icebreakers and tankers. Robert Tustin with the international firm Lloyd's Registry of London says commercial nuclear ships are inevitable. The move towards nuclear propulsion is being driven by the world's move to cut greenhouse gases. There are no carbon emissions from a nuclear reactor.
It's the only known source of power for ships that is greenhouse gas emission free. There's a perceptible change relative to that. The nature and the characteristics of the discussions between the builders and the owners about new ships, there's a perceptible change. They'll seriously consider what might have been unthinkable couple of years ago.
Russia is not the only country interested in developing commercial nuclear shipping. Korea and China are also actively looking at it, but the Russians are much further along. Next summer, Russia is planning to sail a nuclear-powered supertanker, escorted by Russian nuclear-powered icebreakers along most of its Arctic coastline or the Northeast Passage. This nuclear push gives some marine architects and engineers the willies. Russia's not known for its high safety standards. The safety of any venture in the Arctic is questionable as ships and oil rigs move further and further offshore. This spring, the Arctic nations are expected to sign a search and rescue agreement, but it'll be mostly words. There are no international standards for Arctic ships or oil rigs. Except for Russia, most Arctic nations have few icebreakers and even less rescue capability, either on board the boats or on shore. I'm Johanna Urich.